at first glance, today's readings might overwhelm us with lots of seemingly unconnected ideas. There's the priesthood, the high priesthood, according to the order of Aaron, then there's the priesthood according to Melchizedek, and then there's fasting and weddings and bridegrooms and cloaks and patches and wine and wineskins. It's a lot of imagery. One way to approach this, or to kind of look at it in a coherent whole, is to reflect on old and new. Oldness and newness seems to run through both of the readings. As a starting point, we can reflect back to yesterday's feast, Feast of the Santo Niño, which we have to acknowledge is not part of the liturgical flow. It's a kind of an exception. So it's not set up that that feast would become the launching pad for the rest of this week. But since that's how it is, we can use it for that. And the Santo Niño is a very old image. It's the oldest Christian image in the Philippines. It's the oldest devotion in the Philippines. 500 years is a long time. But he's also a child, and a child is new. By definition, child is young. So old, child. They don't go together? Well, yes, they do. Yes, they do. God, who is outside of time, could be considered old and new because he's eternal, so there's nothing older than God. And yet, there's nothing newer than God either, because everything he does is now. Well, this oldness and newness can help us reflect on these readings. The first reading, taken from the letter to the Hebrews, this is the section where the letter reflects on the priesthood of Christ, and we'll be seeing this for several days. First of all, we recognize there was a priesthood in the old law. There was an old priesthood. There was a high priest. He had this role of offering gifts and sacrifices for sins. That's what a priest does. He offers sacrifice. But, and Christ is a priest. He's a high priest. So there's something that's the same, and yet there's something that's radically different. He's not a priest of the old law. He's a priest of the new law. He's not a priest from the tribe of Levi. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's not from the order of Aaron. He's from the order of Melchizedek. So there's something the same, something new, something radically new. Jesus is a new priest of a new covenant. In the gospel, the disciples of John in particular, but also the disciples of the Pharisees, are trying to figure this out, because John is a threshold figure. He's both old and new. He's from the order of Levi. He's a priest of the order of Levi, but he doesn't minister in the temple. He fasts, just like everybody else, but he's pointing towards someone who is to come, the bridegroom. And he even says, not in this passage, but you know that passage in the Gospel of John, he says that, I'm not the bridegroom, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I rejoice to hear the bridegroom's voice. So John the Baptist is in the middle of this old and new transition. And when the question comes up from the disciples of John the Baptist, well, why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast and the disciples of Jesus don't fast? As if to say, what's wrong with them? And Jesus' answer, in an indirect way, is nothing wrong with them. They are in a new condition. They're not in the old order. They're in a new order. They're not fasting in anticipation of the arrival of the bridegroom. They are celebrating the presence of the bridegroom. What was anticipated in the old way is still valid, but something has changed, radically changed. the bridegroom is here. And there's no fasting at a wedding celebration. They just don't go together. But Jesus then goes on to try to explain this newness by bringing up the images of the patching of a cloth and the new wine and the old wineskins. He's trying to get us to reflect on what is old and what is new and what has to be changed in order for us to welcome and preserve the newness. Now, the new wine is the gospel, the whole message of Jesus Christ. It's new, radically new, and we can't preserve it or live by it if we're stuck in old ways, if we're the old cloak, or if we're the old wineskin. It won't work. That's what he's warning us here. So don't impose old ways on the newness of the gospel. St. Paul speaks of the old man and the new man. It's the same basic idea. Something of what is old remains, but there's a radical change, and we have to be ready for that change. We have to welcome it and change with it. Our nature, however, is not that amenable to change. Thinking of old cloaks, I'm sure people experience this. A comfortable piece of clothing that we've had for years, it fits well, we always liked it. It's worn out. It can't be repaired anymore, it should be thrown away. But it's hard to throw away clothing that you've worn for years and it's comfortable. It's like an old pair of shoes or something. It's hard to give up what's old when it's familiar and comfortable. But a time comes when it's necessary to let go of the old in order to welcome what is new. We can see this happening in the course of this pandemic. In the early stages of the pandemic, what was hard was adjusting to the new protocols. We have to wear a mask. We have to wash our hands all the time. Those are new things. They're not new anymore. Everybody's doing it. Everyone's used to it. Now the newness, and this is going to be a challenge for people, is to drop all those protocols when we don't need them anymore and start living a normal life again. See what's happened in the church. Even after masses are permitted again and people can gather again with safety protocols, a lot of people don't come. They're stuck in the old and they're not ready to welcome the new again. This is it. We get comfortable with the way we do things and we're not ready to change. Will people come back to Mass when this is over? It's not that clear. Because people like the old wineskins. They'd rather watch Mass on TV. It's a lot easier. So, now that's just a contemporary example. But what we have to do, the life of faith, is a constant preservation of what is still valid and openness to what new thing God is doing in us. We're constantly on this trend, in this transition, old to new, old to new. The Word of God, and this is brought up in the Gospel Acclamation, the Word of God is alive. It's living and effective. It's the two-edged sword. We reflected on that the other day. It has an impact on us today, which is new. If we are clinging to what we thought last week or last year, we won't be ready to contain this new gift. We are old wineskins. Nature is pretty much by definition an old wineskin. That's why it's always difficult for us to keep taking new steps, leaving behind old habits, old ways of thinking, behavior, relationships, even sometimes spiritual practices, things that we learned as children or things that worked before. Well, I'm not saying they're invalid, but we have to they have to be enlivened, have to be made effective in new ways. I'll just share another example. Comes to mind these homilies that I give every day. People have asked me to record them, so I finally consented to that, and then they get posted on the Facebook. Well, there's a new way to make these recordings available, the podcast. I don't know if that message has gotten to everybody. Well, I don't know anything about a podcast. I was not at all interested. And yet, what right do I have to cling to an old wineskin? If there's a new wineskin and there's a new way to proclaim the message, well, why not? Let's let what is new, what's alive, what's available, let's make good use of new technology. And so it's not right to dig in our heels against any change. Yes, we have to resist change, which is a distortion of the gospel. But any new way to make the gospel known, let's do it. Let's be open to it and let God be in charge. So it's just another example. In our own lives, we have to be aware that God will do new things. He is a God of surprises. He is not rigid. He is not just a stone. And his laws are not just written on stone. The word is alive, effective. The law is written on our hearts. And we, if we're alive in the faith, we have to be ready for the newness of the gospel every day. So that's our way to reflect on these passages. The difficulty here is we don't know what the new thing is until God reveals it. So we're not in control of that. We can't say, oh, the new thing that's going to happen tomorrow is this. No, we don't know. We don't know who's going to call us or what might befall us. So, or what God will say to us. So the thing is, be a new wineskin. Be ready for the freshness of the living word.